Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley with my colleague.
WTOP Digital Sports Editor Noah Frank.
And we're here with the one and only Stephon James, who plays Jesse Owens in the new biopic Race. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I'm sure we all discovered Jesse Owens and admired him at some age growing up. You know, when was it for you? When did you first hear about him?
Man, I gotta say, it's probably when I heard about this film.
Really?
Yeah, when I heard about this film being made, you know, I got a call that they're making a Jesse Owens biopic, and I sort of, you know, the name rung a bell, but I had to scratch my head like, yeah, he won those gold medals, but when did he do it? Yeah. And I didn't really understand the story of the situation, so for me it was a whole new thing, and I learned a lot about him, you know, just through playing him and researching.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, kind of to your point, we have these heroes from the last generation or two. We, you know, as far back as Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, who, you know, TV was around, and they were written about and they were talked about in their era. And so we all kind of grew up, I think, knowing more about them. And the film talks about the fact that, the White House didn't even acknowledge his medals, even at home. How much of you learning about him and playing him, it was sort of, you know, casting a light on, hey, this is a guy that, you know, even though he did what he did, wasn't really even recognized as this, you know, sort of breakthrough, you know, civil rights leader, essentially, until much later.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big part of, you know, me wanting to play him is, you know, when I learned everything that I did learn about him, outside of being the fastest man on the planet and being this superhuman type athlete, when I learned about the man he was, the human being he was, the father he was, the husband he was, you know, to me that intrigued me so much, and I really felt a responsibility to bring that level of humanity to him, to help teach, you know, people in the younger generation about him, you know, and not only people, you know, my age, but younger than me, older than me, there are so many people who don't know, you know, his story. So, you know, it's so important that we make films like this and never let legends die. You know, he's such an inspirational person. You know, I can remember being so inspired just by learning the things that I learned about him. So I really wanted to give other people the opportunity to be inspired in the same way that I was.
Is it bizarre to think that there will be kids that maybe watch this in school or watch it whenever at home, and will maybe if they see you on the street, they'll say, that's Jesse Owens. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Bozeman has to deal with it with Jackie and the same thing, but is that a bizarre thought that your face is now Jesse Owens?
Yeah, a little bit. But it's cool, too. You know, I think it's fun, you know, to be looked at, you know, as such a hero. You know, when kids leave the theater, you know, I know for me, you know, I saw him as a hero, you know, so I look at it, and if kids want to come out the theater and look at me like that, I think that that's amazing.
Did I read somewhere that you, that they were originally maybe going to cast the John Boyega from Star Wars, and then he pulled out for that, obviously, so to me, is that just a win-win, baby?
Hey, yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, John obviously went and did this little movie called Star Wars, which is great.
You might have heard of it.
And I got to play Jesse Owens. You know, I think that that is just as amazing, and I'm happy for John and everything he's done, but I got to say, I'm happy that this landed in my lap.
So the film is called Race, which is an obvious kind of, you know, double entendre.
Oh,
right.
I never thought of that.
But it lends itself to you know, his story in a way that it really doesn't to other people's. I was interested. I mean, I grew up Jewish, and there's so much of sort of both sides of that shown, and the sort of the equal struggle that both, you know, African Americans and Jews had in deciding to go to this, in possibly not being able to compete. You know, talking about stuff that you learned about that time, was that a whole other layer? I mean, that's a layer that I didn't even really know that much about. Is that something you learned about
with the relay
process
at the end?
Oh,
everything,
right. Yeah, of course. I mean, that whole story, you know, you look at the Jewish runners, Glickman and Stoller, and their whole story, that could have been made into a film all in itself. You know, Marty Glickman's a guy who a lot of people love, and look up to. And you know what? He never really forgot that. You know, in watching interviews from him, he never forgot that, you know, Jesse Owens took his place. And Jesse didn't want to take his place. He wanted to give him and Glickman full opportunity to run the race themselves. But unfortunately, you know, it didn't go like that. And Jesse had to run a race that he wasn't used to running. But yeah, absolutely. Something I learned, you know, that I had no clue about. I couldn't even imagine what that must have been like. for Jesse. But I'm sure he knew, you know, what that type of oppression felt like coming from the 1930s in America. But yeah, again, one of those things that I had no clue about.
And you'd mentioned earlier that, you know, you were familiar with him as a great Olympian and all that, but as you, you know, read and dug a little more, did it shock you more and more as you're reading about him to realize how huge of stakes you'll have for this movie? Because it's not just, you know, the team trying to win the season here in America or something. I mean, this is one of those moments that transcended sports. Yeah, you had the Max Schmeling thing on the radio, you had Joe Louis. But, you know, as you're sort of reading the script and researching, are you saying, wow, the stakes in this movie are huge compared to most movies?
Of course. I mean, outside of leading a film, you know, being number one on that call sheet, knowing that you're working the most hours every day, you know, you got the most to deal with, the biggest workload, you know, you have that. But doing that and playing Jesse Owens is a whole nother thing. It's such a gigantic story. And like you said, he's so much bigger than a black hero, so much bigger than an American hero. He's a world hero. And you know, his story has obviously resonated for years. I mean, 80 years later, we're sitting here talking about a film that we made about him. So, you know, to me, when I look at everything he's done, of course it's daunting to step into shoes so, you know, so big. But, you know, I knew that right away I had to put the work in that was gonna, you know, be needed to play him. And, you know, that's obviously starts with the, you know, with the training and the research. But, you know, I knew I had my plate full, of course.
You mentioned stepping in the shoes, and that triggers a thought in my mind. I want to talk about that. Is it a single take when you come out of the tunnel and you walk out into the arena? Is it one continuous shot? Yeah, when you know, we see the blimp back to you, old Adolf, the villain, back to you, and then over as you put the cleats on and we lose the sound, and then it's the trigger of the gun going off that your first cut, right? Yeah. Talk about how physically that was shot. How many takes did that take, and was that complicated?
That was obviously a few takes. You know, it's a big sequence, but that's something, the scene you're talking about, that's something Steven and I, our director, talked about months before shooting. You know, we understood the importance of that scene, how important it was to put people in his shoes, and to give them a feeling of what that moment must have been like for him. So big sequence, and I mean, obviously, you see him walk into a stadium of 150,000 people. I did not have 150,000 people to work with, so you have to create a feeling and an emotion that's not really there. But it's a credit to our director in helping me sort of paint that picture of what that was like. But, you know, for me, when I remember going down to Berlin and when we actually shot at the stadium and walking up to the stadium for the first time, I remember feeling almost beside myself. You know what I mean? I had chills, feeling like, oh my gosh, he did this. But, you know, 80 years beforehand, and with 150,000 people in here, and then when I went up there, there was nobody there. But I still got, you know, this eerie feeling, this, you know, these chills. And so, you know, for me, that was a moment where I felt even a fraction of what Jesse had felt. And really, that's the moment I feel like I felt closest to him. But, you know, it was very important for me to make sure that scene, that I was really putting people in the position that he was, and giving them a feeling of what that moment was like for him. Technically, it's a whole, you know, choreography thing. It's really a dance between, you know, the cameraman, myself.
What's the camera on? Is it some kind of steady cam or what?
Yeah, steady. It's on steady, and they're just basically following, you know, Jesse around. It's a sequence where, you know, I'm literally having to, okay, Stefan, over there is Hitler.
Yeah.
And now it's gonna be a blimp flying over your head. Just remember that. You gotta look at the blimp. Okay. So it's just a bunch of things to have to remember, and it's a whole nother facet of acting that, you know, people, you know, viewers, they don't understand.
Yeah, well, they did it in Creed too, the big fight sequence.
Yeah,
in the
middle.
When you're in a sports movie, as opposed to really kind of any other film, there's the physical component too, where you have to train to look like an athlete, and also train to perform like an athlete, whether it's a boxer, whether it's a baseball player, whether it's a track athlete. Mm-hmm. So I was a runner, so I'm sure a lot of people who are interested in this film have some kind of a running background too. How much of that of learning not just what correct form looks like, but maybe even what incorrect form looks like. But when he had to learn from his own incorrect form how to come out of the blocks the right way, you know, how much training was there on that front? Did you have track coaches trying to explain to you, you know, what you were doing right, what you were doing wrong?
Yeah, of course. You know, for me, training started about 2 months before I started filming Race. And it really just started down at Georgia Tech. I was working on Selma down in Atlanta, and every day I had off on Selma, I'd go down to Georgia Tech and start training with the track and field coaches there. And you know, it started with conditioning. You know, Coach Page would just make me run so I couldn't run anymore. just keep running. I said, how is this going to help me with the film? Just keep running, man. But yeah, so, you know, it was a big, big conditioning for me. I grew up on basketball, football, baseball, volleyball, but never track. And so it was a whole new world for me, a whole new beast. You know, not only learning how to run fast, but learning how to run like Jesse, because obviously we see his style is so particular. And then the other aspect of it was I couldn't train like runners in 2015 or 2016 do. Right. You know, Jesse trained in much, much different ways. He didn't have the benefit of some of the training that we have today. He wasn't privy to the shoes that we have today. You know, he was running in sort of these leather shoes with 3 or 4 inch spikes at the bottom of them. And you think it's crazy. It's like, how could this guy do what he did, you know, wearing shoes like that, running on dirt, you know, whereas nowadays these guys run on an actual track, on turf. So, you know, there was so many different things I had to learn about, not only running, but that time period, running in that time period. So, yeah, credit to our coaches, you know, in helping me look believable. You know, Coach Page really worked on me. You know, worked to make sure that I was running like him so much that I couldn't run any other type of way. That I had, it was so heavily ingrained in everything that I was doing that, you know, I really couldn't mess it up. And then, yeah, there's the aspect of learning how to do it the wrong way and then learning how to do it the right way, because, you know, we see Jesse grow in the film where, you know, he polishes up some of his running techniques. So, you know, I had to go backwards in a lot of ways as well.
Yeah, you mentioned with the coach. Talk about working with Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you're training to learn how to, you know, act like an athlete and run like him. But what's it like creating this relationship?
Yeah, it was very cool. I mean, you know, Jason's like, I don't think it's any surprise that he's a funny guy. So he's easy to be around. You know, we're both big sports guys, baseball and basketball. And he grew up, you know, having a coach, being an athlete, and I grew up being an athlete, having a coach. So we knew what that dynamic was like, you know, the coach and athlete relationship. But honestly, when we first met, you know, we basically talked sports. We didn't even talk about the film that much. You know, we just hung out and talked a lot of sports. And as, you know, Jesse and Larry got closer in the film, Jason and I got closer in real life. Spent a lot of time together, and I think people would be pleasantly surprised, you know, with his performance, seeing as how they're not used to seeing him in this light.
There's several moments where, you know, he says, "I never know you had the daughter," yeah. and you never asked, and then you give it back to him. You never asked. What would that be between you guys in real life? Is there something that you never asked, or he never asked?
Oh man, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. But,
or what's something about you that most people might not know in that way? And you say you never asked.
I don't know. I mean, I guess that I'm just pretty normal. I'm pretty like chill. Like I watch sports all day long when I'm not doing press and making movies. You know what I'm saying? I you know, I read books. I hang out. I'm pretty low key.
What are your sports teams? I mean, you mentioned baseball, but I mean, are you like an all hometown team guy?
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously the Jays, Jason and I, you know, Kansas and Blue Jays were going back and forth last year, so we had a laugh about that. But Blue Jays, Raptors, diehard basketball fan, diehard Raptors fan, diehard Kobe fan. So you know, it's sad to see him go out. But yeah, man, I love all types of sports, man.
You mentioned a few questions ago, you mentioned you working down on Selma.
Yep.
You played Congressman John Lewis, right? Compare working with, let's say, I interviewed Oyelowo a couple months ago, and he had nothing but raves about Ava DuVernay. But talk about working with her, and also tie in, you know, how this film explores Leni Riefenstahl, who was a pioneering, you know, obviously making propaganda for the Nazis, unfortunately, but, you know, in terms of a filmmaker, you know, pioneering as well.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. You know, Ava is such a, I can't say enough good things about her. She is such a powerful, powerful director. And, you know, to see her go from, you know, the previous budget she had in Middle of Nowhere, the film she made directly before Selma, you know, $250,000, to go and making Selma $20 million. To see the way she handled that, I was just blown away. Blown away by the amount of responsibility put on her shoulders right away. You know, the seriousness of the story we were telling, obviously about the civil rights movement, Just incredible. Very, very incredible. She's a very, very passionate director. She cares a lot about her work, much like how Leni Riefenstahl cared a lot about her work. And even though she had, you know, people telling her what type of film they wanted her to make.
What you're not allowed to shoot.
She obviously had her own vision and things that she, you know, wanted to capture as well. So, I mean, it's just another example of a strong, you know, strong female director who had a vision and, you know, obviously a little oppressed in that time. And she had to, you know, show some sort of restraint. But it really just shows how far we've come. And now, you know, you see in 2014 that Ava DuVernay is, you know, able to have a Best Picture nomination last year and just an overall great film. So, yeah.
There's not a lot of source material from the 30s to study, you know. So I mean, was Riefenstahl's films, was that stuff that you were looking at in terms of trying to get some sort of idea of how Jesse was?
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah. Olympia was a big studying tool for me. You know, obviously only so many YouTube clips I can find from that time. So you know, Leni's whole vision, and it didn't help that she, you know, was sort of fascinated by Jesse a little bit, so a lot of her story centers around him, and yeah, a big tool for me to sit down and look at that film to see what, you know, what it was like in that time in the stadium, but also in Berlin at that time, right? Just to see what that was like.
Yeah, it kind of shows. I mean, she probably set out to make one movie, and then you kind of go, but that's what you got to do as a filmmaker. You got to go with the happy accident, quote unquote. Compare, let's say, you know, DuVernay's style with Stephen Hopkins, you know, what's their strength of each?
Yeah. I think, you know, with Ava, she has a way of connecting with actors. It's very, very, very special, very personable director. And, you know, not that Stephen isn't, but, you know, he has a different technique, whereas, you know, he's sort of a technical director and you know, he has a lot of cool shots and cool ideas and stuff like that. And it's fascinating to watch and to pick his brain and to see some of that sort of stuff. But he's just as brilliant. I think that, you know, his experience, you know, sort of in action and that sort of thing really helped in this film, because the running scenes are just epic. You know, they really, really look like, you know, you're in there with them. You're in there. You know, you feel the race. You feel the weight of the race. You feel like you're in there. So you know, maybe a little more technical than Ava is, but just as brilliant.
Awesome. Yeah. Now we're out of time, but Stefan, thanks so much for taking the time.
Appreciate it.
It was great.